very grateful to you that although this festival was in a way finished yesterday, that you are still here to listen to something which I feel is important. It's a great honor for me to sit here with all of you and to talk about something which I believe could make a difference between blissful and fulfilled New Year or a year which is just not so good for us. I would like to talk about sacred longing and following these longings, giving ourselves the permission to follow those spiritual desires which come deep in the core of, from the core of our heart. It will not be a formal Bhagavatam lecture, although we will certainly quote sacred scripture, but it will be more like an address, something which is of a more personal nature than a formal philosophical nature, a lecture. To us in an indirect way. In other words, we may not always know what it is what we really want in the deepest care, deepest part of our heart. But what we know is that we don't like the way we live when it is not perfect. We feel the narrowness. And inside there is this question, there must be more than everything in life. What I mean with this enigmatic Rätselhafte formal way to express it, there must be more than the things the world has to offer us. We feel that. In fact, I would say it were those sacred longings which brought us to start with into the Hare Krishna movement, or which brought us to make contact with this movement. I remember having read just half a year a little article where His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj wrote how he came to Krishna consciousness. You see, he had somehow secured for himself a place in an Indian college, which meant something, because this was higher education, which would offer him in the future a better possibility on the work market. You know, he would get a better job if he would go to the college. But then he somehow got, I believe it was a Back to Godhead magazine, and he read the Light article of Srila Prabhupada, and he felt an inexplicable longing or desire to be connected with this movement. So he did two things. He describes, he was on his way to pass an important exam in his college. And he was just walking through the nature to get to the college. And all of a sudden, it struck him, what am I doing? I want to become a devotee. And he became so happy with the idea of becoming a devotee. He describes it like this. He threw his school books into the ditch. He threw his pens. Okay, not pens, but writing pens. he even threw what part of his school uniform in India, when you go to a college, you have a school uniform. And he felt so free. The next thing is he went to a typist and asked him to type his application form. I so-and-so applied to become a devotee in the Hare Krishna movement. So someone typed it for him in India, you know. And then he came, met His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, who was at that time the temple president of the Mumbai Juhu Beach temple, and that was it. What did Lokanath Maharaj do? He followed his sacred longing. What have all of you done to join the adventure called the Hare Krishna movement? It's a pioneer movement still. It's relatively young in the history of mankind. You followed a very sweet pull in your heart that I want to come closer to God. I want to come closer to God, who I now understand is much more than my old religious tradition has been able to recognize, so I want to follow, I want to become Lord Krishna's devotee. This was a sacred longing. It came from deep in your heart. And remember how strong it was. It was so strong that you gave up a career. How do we say?
Career
in the world. You made, maybe not every one of us, but you made adjustments so that in your life, so that you could follow this path in a nice way. You followed your sacred longing. Have you ever asked yourself, what does Prahlad Maharaj, Mother Teresa, Jesus, Srimad Thakur, Nelson Mandela, Heaven Common? It's one thing, they recognized there is something in me which is not satisfied with what the world has to offer. And they followed this longing, which is a sacred longing, or at least they tried the best they could. Now, when we want to follow sacred longings, we have to first of all find them in our heart. When we find them and we want to follow them, there will be usually obstacles placed before us by our old life. There will be external obstacles, like the circumstances in which we are, which are somewhat, let me say, fixed. And it will be much more important for us here, it will be internal obstacles, our internal fears or insecurities. Can I do this? Can I really change my life in the way I deeply desire to do it from the core of my heart? You know, can I give myself the permission to do this? What would be the first steps, you know? Like this, there will be external circumstances. Maybe the world, the friends around us will say, don't be crazy, you are 30 years a Hare Krishna devotee, you have a good position, you know, why now do something extra, or there will be, maybe you're not yet a devotee, the school, the friends, and so on. But the main obstacle, when you think deeply about it, is usually you yourself. When I am thinking about my life and how I move forward, I have concluded that Sachinanda Swami is sometimes his own worst enemy, because he is not as free as he would like to be. He has put himself into a prison of concepts and ideas and expectations, etc. But when we can rise above our weaknesses, the real life starts. In ancient times, I would like to offer you an example of what it means to rise beyond the weaknesses and how it feels if one can do that. And in ancient times, in India's history, the Moguls invaded in India, and the local Kshatriyas had to learn to fight with the new Mughal armies, who had very unknown strategies, you know, like for instance the strategy of the receding dog. That's a devilish strategy. which is so powerful that even the European knights, the Europäischen Ritter, could not stand against the hordes of Genghis Khan, the strategy of the receding dog. I don't have the time to explain this strategy, and it's not important for this presentation. But the Moguls had entirely new war strategies, which made them the most successful rulers of the history of mankind. And the Kshatriyas in India had to learn to encounter this Mughal force. And so the Rajputs of Rajasthan, the Rajasthani Kshatriyas, who are the best, who are the most strongest ones, decided we need to put a lot of our defense on the back of horses, because the Moguls used only horses. They were galloping into places and conquering them. So they had to change their army and make it a horse army. Where to get good horses from was the question. And they understood the best horses are in Afghanistan. So the Kshatriyas went to Afghanistan to find the very best horses in order to see which was a strong horse and which was a weak horse. They designed an interesting test. And I guess here it becomes interesting for all of you. They made something like a corral with a high fence. Ich sag mal in Deutsch, ein Korall, sagt man dazu, mit einem hohen Zaun. And then, in certain intervals, they sent a man into this corral where the horse which they wanted to test was. This man went at the horse with a raised stick and aggressive shouting. Then after some time, he went out of the corral, but he came back again. So there were two types of horses. One type was a docile horse, docile in Deutsch sagt man, you know, ein etwas stumpfes Horse, stumpfes Pferd. And they would just tolerate the unacceptable situation. But the other type of horse would not tolerate it. After once or twice being threatened, they would just jump over the fence into freedom. And the Kshatriyas knew, now we have our horse. This is the horse we need. We need a horse which stands up to pressure and doesn't accept it but solve the pressure. Then that is a horse we can rely on. So we as human beings need to also learn from this to become internally strong and in some ways leap the fence or escape from an unacceptable situation. For this we just need two things. That is, we need to contact our sacred longing, which all of us have in our soul. And we need definitely spiritual strength in order to lead. I would like to read you now something from Srila Prabhupada about this point, which is making it very, very clear to all of us what we are speaking about. Without, are you ready to listen?
Yes.
You might. You will have to concentrate a little bit. I get my orchestra ready. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with gratification of the body and mind. The body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. Body and mind are covering us. It's not us. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. Our Prabhupada gives an example which you all know. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. Then he says what it is. It's so beautiful. It's really a wonderful piece of spiritual writing. You will really appreciate it if you hear this. Listen to Prabhupada's language. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. So in Deutsch, das Bedürfnis der spirituellen Seele ist, dass sie den Wunsch hat, aus den Grenzen ihrer materiellen Fesselung zu kommen und ihren Wunsch nach völliger Freiheit zu erfüllen. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light in the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. Sacred longings. He wants to get out of the limited sphere of material life. Prabhupada says he wants to even get out of the covered walls of the universe. That means he wants to go back to God. And this complete freedom, when is it achieved? When is there finally peace? Yes, when we meet the complete spirit, the personality of God, there must be a direct meeting, then finally we are happy. The Prabhupada was in Moscow and talked to atheistic professors, you know, who doubted the existence of God. He said at the end of the discussion, "Now listen, we don't want to discuss any longer many things." He said, "We all really only want God. And this desire for the Lord can be seen by the fact that we cannot be satisfied in material life." And then he gave an example. It's like a little child. When the little child begins to cry for the mother, then, mother, it can't be satisfied by the auntie, not by the uncle, not even by the president. I mean, he didn't say it, but by no one, not by the president. It has to come on one lamp only. And that is the lamp of the mother. Do we have mothers here? Do you? Rocky, you are the mother of two strong boys. And you know there is a tough time when no one can come and satisfy the boys. If only the mother has to, it's sure okay. You know, and whatever you have to say. So make them peaceful. This is our situation also. There comes a time when we long for this one lamp, this one shows that is the Lord. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in activities that will evoke our divine consciousness. And this is possible only by hearing and chanting the divine activities of the Supreme Lord. If you want to read this, because it's really a memorable piece of Prabhupada's writing, you can find it in the first canto, chapter 2, text 8. But let us just reflect about this one thing. And I'm sorry, I will now become a little bit intense for just 2 minutes. You will be able to tolerate it. Prabhupada writes here something which I have experienced millions of times in the life of my own life and in the life of others. He says, this affection for God is within everyone. And the spiritual existence, however, is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Hare Krishna. You all have a sacred line, but if you don't follow it, all you're left with is unlimited other longings. To make it more clear, you all have a desire for that love, that unlimited love, that unlimited affection, which you can find only with Krishna. But if you do not follow this desire, you will be thrown back to your attachments and your material desires, which will mercilessly drive you from one place to the next. Mercilessly, because you just can't satisfy the thirst of the soul. Matter can't satisfy spirit. It doesn't work. So if in your life you constantly take a pen and cross the word sacred before your longing, you will be forced to follow these other longings, or let us call them desires. It is, you know, why? Because you are a pleasure sort of seeker. Ananda Maya Pyasa, that means the living entity, longs for pleasure, ananda. But if you don't follow this, if you just don't give yourself the permission, if you allow fear to rule you, or little attachments, you know, which can become addictions if you follow them, then you are practically spiritually dead. We all know about these attachments. We may feel lonely, no one around, okay, let me eat a bar of chocolate. That gives me some fulfillment. Especially, I heard if we are Matajis, we tend to solve things like that. Not all of you, most of you are enlightened souls. I'm just trying to give an example from the world. If you are beyond it, listen to it, because you can replace the bar of chocolate with your own private addictions. A movie. I don't want to. You are all saying to people, I don't want to give now very stark things. We all know what that is. And from such a harmless little thing as this or that or the other things, we develop a habitual pattern of thinking and acting, and to make it a little bit more simple, we develop addictions. Small, medium, or big ones. Addictions to positions, maybe. Or we become addicted, we become a workaholic. We want to, okay, no sacred longings for me. I just work like crazy. And then I feel fulfilled. Or we go internet surfing, all over, whatever. So, my dear devotees, I would like to impress upon you, or impress upon you sounds so aggressive. I would like to suggest that you look at this place in your life. When you don't follow sacred longings, you have to follow other longings, which by definition, because they are these longings, these other longings are expressed through the mind and the body, are material and cannot satisfy the soul. My dear devotees, I'm not speaking here about, you know, some creative use of our free time, which we sometimes need to do. Sometimes we may need to go on a hike, we may need to go with a bicycle, driving. We may also need to see a good movie to just get something else in our mind. We may need to read a little bit, some literature or anything. I'm not speaking against this. Please don't misunderstand the message which I want to give. That every sensible human being knows he has to do. I'm just speaking about the point of either following sacred longings or not following sacred longings. And I really want to suggest to you to come in contact with your sacred longings. I would like to know, I'm at the end. I would like to read you something. But before I read this, something registered. One of you, I was switched on, spiritual people are a little mystical by nature, has a doubt. And it knocked in my awareness. Oh, my God. Sacred longing. You come 30 years too late. Oh, doesn't work. Why don't you understand? This does not work. I tried, and others tried. Why are you needlessly idealistic about this? My dear devotees, this voice comes when you bury your sacred longings. But you can't quiet the voice. It will come again and again. And your own desperation that you are not where you are, where you want, is nothing else than that little voice raising its sound. It is a little painful at times to listen to the sacred longing and to listen to this voice, because this gives us a sweet pain. It is I'm not where I should be. Look at my life. Look at the size of my belly. It's so true. When I just have to gratify my senses, because I don't feel any spiritual happiness at the moment. Just look at me. It's very obvious what is my psychological situation. It is sometimes a little painful, yes, but that is sweet pain. That is necessary pain. That is something which wakes us up. That is something which gives us strength. That is a wind which helps us to rise and fly in the free sky. That is good. Confront that little sweet pain. It's a little pain is good. It's not that numbing pain, numbing heißt so abstumpfender Schmerz. Huh? It is a little sharp pain, but it gets you going. That's good. It's not a covering. So I want to now say, talk practically. Enough of this. This type of talk now comes practical. Here's a small. I know some of you don't like meditation, so I won't use this word. A small, let me call it a small process, a small way, a small sadhana practice to come in contact to that sacred longing. As we all know, it is there because we are souls, but it is sometimes covered. So we must go a little deep. I suggest to you that very soon you find some peaceful time, maybe after you have returned to your homes, and you find a time that you are at peace. Maybe the evening hours when you have done all the things you need to do upon returning from the Sangha Mela festival home. Huh? You find a peaceful time from your busy life. Sit down where you don't, where you will not be disturbed, and allow the sounds that usually fill your life to sink into the quiet. It's complicated English. It means just to come to peace with yourself and your life. Just to be peaceful. No complicated thoughts. No complicated agendas. Just sit somewhere where you are undisturbed. You might have to switch off your mobile phone nowadays for this. And then, as you allow yourself to quiet down, and as you allow your busy life to slow down, you just ask yourself the crucial question. Crucial ist die entscheidende Frage. Do I feel a connection with my Lord? Just do I feel, not do I think I have it. Do I feel it? Ask this question again. And ask it again and yet again. Be persistent with this question. The question is important for you. Do I feel a connection? Is there something? Then, listen in silence for the answer. It might take some time, but as you repeat the question, do I feel a connection with Krishna? You will soon hear a little voice, the voice of longing, and that's what we want to activate. Am I in contact with the Supreme, or have I lost touch? Are you only thinking about some spiritual realizations like all these theoretical missionaries do wherever they are, whatever movements? Or are you actually realizing your relationship with Krishna? Are you living it? Is your Krishna consciousness alive? Or is it simply theoretical? And once again, as you will ask these probing questions, you will get in contact with the voice of longing. It will come. Don't worry. It has come to everyone in all spiritual traditions. Sometimes it's more important to ask the proper questions than to get answers. You have a lot of answers, you Hare Krishna people. You listen to many lectures. What you don't have very often is deep realizations, a deeper connection which fulfills your heart with sweetness and makes you turn away from the different longings. Come in contact with your sacred longings. Dare to come in contact with that little voice, and you will see a new life will develop. The life which you actually deserve, because all of you are saintly people. You have to come in the midst of Kali Yuga into a contact with a movement which has such a pure message. No jnana, no karma, only bhakti, which is awakened by chanting the name of the beloved Lord and hearing about his pastimes. Such a pure message, and you are attracted to this message. It means everything is there with you. You have resonated to this message. That means you are very advanced in your development. But now you have to learn how to be in contact with that sacred longing that is so nicely described by Prabhupada as a desire of the soul for the affection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So I have finished what I wanted to say. I'm very grateful that you allowed me to be of a little service to your lives by speaking these words. If you would like to think a little bit more about this subject matter, there is a little article which I've just posted on the web pages where one can find me nowadays. It is called, it's the New Year's Message, because there's so many thousands of people who are in contact with our Sharanagati preaching and who somehow get something out of it, Krishna's mercy. So it is, you will find that it's called Follow Your Sacred Longing. And you might like to read it again. You might like to check if you can see it like this, or maybe you feel you need to put a certain nuance to this message. It means your own realization, your own perspective, which is fine, which you need to do, and so on. But please, please take this serious. I strongly believe that you will discover many things. I will end here with the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. O fish-like soul, O fish-like soul, why do you become repeatedly entangled in Maya's net? Why are you allured by insignificant pleasures? When you are thus trapped in the network of illusion, you remain spiritually weakened, so weak. Please, rise, serve the Lord of your heart, and with the strength gained by bhakti or devotion, swim freely swim freely in the ocean of love for Krishna. Hare Krishna. Finish! Said what I wanted to say. Now I can be myself. I have done my service. Please take this serious. Please think about it and discuss it with your friends. And it was a pleasure to be with you for this wonderful festival. And it had such wonderful moments. Like, remember that surprising darshan? It was a darshan which was hotly discussed amongst the Vaishnavas. Is this the Lord goes in a German sledge? But he looks like Christmas. That's Christian. It's drawn by deers. Krishna, this is not the Ashtakalya Leela. You have not heard it like this. I think he just momentarily wanted to provoke you and your flexibility in spiritual life. I think he showed to all of us, I'm ready for the Germans. I'm with you in your culture for just a short moment there. What could take it like this? One could also take it in other ways. Obviously, there will be also hot-headed discussions, I can guarantee you. Kind of quarreling philosophers of modern time. Or when we were singing so nicely, Andu, Ojashri, Ramanji, or when we saw Gaurahari faint, Jai Krishna Baba. it is taken from the Raj tradition. Therefore, this happened to one great saint, Jai Krishna Baba. He was visited by the Lord, but he didn't recognize it. Because the Lord can come in disguises, or he arranges it that we don't see him, and then we long for him. And did you notice how Gaurahari was overwhelmed? He was actually crying. Did you see that? He was totally no longer a man from the French-speaking part of Switzerland. And he pondered about the final messages of Shukadev Goswami to his disciple Parikshit Maharaj. Remember the discussions which you had on the corridors with your friends, the nice Iranian sabji, you know, which was available for our date, seeing the old faces, your friends, and so on. It was a blessed festival, a blessed festival. The treasure hunt, the room for the teenagers to hang out, what a good idea, you know, they need that. We are becoming more mature by and by, and all these precious moments. But remember more than anything, that little voice which came to almost every one of us, that little voice of sacred longing, which came maybe during a darshan, during a kirtan, that voice is maybe the most precious. It's the voice of the soul. Follow it. Follow it. Learn to not ignore it, and your life will be extended in Krishna consciousness. Fine, I now have to make an announcement. How is the situation? You need to go, or you want to go, right? Or Can we? Should we have a little, very, very concentrated questions to ask us like 10 minutes? Doubts, questions. You have to think carefully. We are still in the lecture. I will be a little. I will think if you have a good question and then ask it. Yes, Bhagavad Dharma, I see. Your question is, you want to ask the question? Good. Good. Bhagavad Dharma, Prabhu.
Maharaj, what do you advise me if I don't have a sacred longing?
Oh, you have to find it. It's there. It is there. It's like, what do you advise me if I don't find my house key? You search for it. It's cold outside. If you don't have the key, you move. No, I'm very serious. It sounds like a quick answer, which was not almost aggressive in the sound of it. Prabhupada says it's so nice. One must actually know the need of the bird. You know, find out the need. What you need, Bhagavad Dharma. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. Anyone who has just been for 1 hour in a good psychology class, just for 1 hour, he doesn't need to be a student of the movements of the mind, can see that people want something which is more than what they have. That this is very natural. It's a driving force as long as you live. But the point is, it is, Prabhupada says, pervertedly, or you could say wrongly expressed through the body of the mind. When I once wrote a letter to Krishna, oh Krishna, don't trust me. When I cry, I really only cry for you. Although I would give my tears other names. Oh, I cry because of this and no one likes me. When I want something, I really want you, although I would give my desires other names. Because they are, the spiritual soul is wrongly expressing or filtered through the body and the mind. So search and find these longings. If you don't like the word sacred because you somehow are still a little atheistic, not you, but the universal you know, and it's too feely and touchy for you, yes, these are the, then, you know, just exchange it with the word real, the real longing, you know, what is behind. You are a soul, you are a spiritual entity. Once there was Nanda, not Nanda Gopal, Nanda, younger brother of Tulsidas, the famous author of Ramcharitmanas in Benares, but he was a devotee, a woman hunter. One day, a troop of actors came through, and he decided to escape the vigilance of this Tulsidas, this religious brother, and join the actors and have the loose life he always wanted. And he lived with the actors for many years. One day he came to a village, and there on a well, near a well, he saw a beautiful woman. She was veiled, drawing water. He became so, the English word is smitten, or you would say infatuated, in Deutsch, so verknallt. That he followed the male lady to her house. She quickly ran inside and informed her husband. The husband came out with a stick "You crazy man! This is my wife! We are married!" Nanda said, "I want to see her face unveiled." "You want to see my wife's face unveiled? You rascal!" Nanda said, "Look at this." "Do you recognize this? I'm a Brahmin. And if you don't show me your wife's face unveiled, I will fast myself to death and you will be responsible for killing a Brahmana." Bus. These were strong words. I don't know if what you would do. I mean, it's clear what you would do. You're a devotee. You would say, the man was shaken. What could he do? He left through a secret entrance or in the house or a hinterhand. How do we say in English? A back door in the house. That's so good. And he went to the gym, to the next river, was the Jamuna. But with his wife, he wanted to ask his guru what to do. His guru lived on the other side of the river. When he looked back, he saw Nandana coming after him. So he ran with his wife to the boatman and he said, "Take us over there. Yamuna, Kavik, and take this money, or rest of the boatsmen. Take this money and don't take this crazy guy over the Yamuna. I don't know what to do with him." I asked Guru Maharaj. The boatman took the money, threw twice the fare, the fare for this husband and the wife, and the other money for not taking that. So the husband and the wife came to the guru, and the husband said, I do have a question which needs to be solved immediately." Yes, said the guru, and the husband explained everything. He threatens to kill himself, and he says, "I will have to bear the karmic reactions for killing a Brahmana if his crazy desire is not fulfilled." Guru, "And come with me in the next room." And he led the two to the next room. They had three sitting places and three plates. "Sit down. I want to serve you and a third guest, some bag of prasad. Then we will discuss." So said the husband, "Who's the third guest here?" "Nanda Das." "You mean crazy one?" "He is no longer crazy. When he came to the bank of the Jamuna, the boatman said he wouldn't take him across. He sat down and he looked at the Yamuna. And as he looked at the Yamuna, he could understand that while thinking of that sense gratification would satisfy him, he only looked for the law, but it was, in Prabhupada's word, pervertedly or wrongly expressed through the body and the mind. He has become purified. I've sent the boatsmen to get him." So they went to the Jamuna. They saw Nandadas dancing and composing beautiful poems. He's one of the eight foremost poems of the line of the Pushimaga, very famous poet. You can look up on the internet his poems, very devoted for the Lord. Because When you go deep, when you search, you will find your sacred longings. And if you want to have a very, very good process, go when the next Kali comes to sit at the base of the Yamuna, and everyone loves this. Oh, sit in the association of devotees, listen to the talks, the narrations of the Bhagavatam, you will feel something is rising. Or, if nothing works, just throw yourself in the upcoming Radhadish Mellows. It is only a few more weeks to go. Then we will be able to sing from morning till evening, as long as possible, in the Radhadish Mellows. It's only two hours drive from here. And there's Pashanam, and it's warm enough. They have a good new heating system, no problem with the cold, and so on. Hare Krishna. There was another devotee who, yes,
thank you very much.
Sudam Prabhu, Sudam.
Thank you for the nice lecture. I'm trying to understand.
It was not a lecture, it was a message, but it's. But this is besides the point. Yes?
The sacred longing, is it this the heart that speaks out? And in Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned that the intelligence is given by Krishna, and when time comes, Krishna reveals the plan. Is there some connection between these things towards this sacred longing? Because I get trapped to understand what is this plan of Krishna, how to understand and go in the direction.
Let me be very practical. You have a very intellectual approach to this. I would like to take a very pragmatic approach now on what to do. With sacred longing, we mean all these desires for Krishna, for devotional service, and so on. So when they come, and I think you know how they can, you are a devotee, you know this. Then, if you are in doubt, if I should now do this, maybe it's something like I should give up my work here in Germany, I should go to Mayapur, invest my Lakshmi in a new apartment in Srinath Mayapur, because there in the Holy Dham, I'm sure I can live my spiritual life much more better and inspired than here in Germany. If it's something so big, which has so much consequences for your family, your child's education, your wife, and so on, and you are in doubt, is this a good thing to do now? Then it's very good, Sudam Prabhu, to check. And we are encouraged to check at three places. You have a wonderful Guru Maharaj. You can check there. You can check the devotees whom you trust. And you can read the scriptures, because you will get a certain idea. Maybe you will read the past, Chaitanya Charitam, read it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did really not advise Raghunath Das Goswami to do something which you could call premature renunciation. So you need to check when you're in doubt. But then, maybe your sacred longing had that voice, let's go to Mayapur, I can't tolerate, I'm anyways from India, these Hans Würste here in Germany are really not my association, if you say like this, let us say you have the critical moment, then your Guru Maharaj says, no, Sudam, is good for the education of the child, you know, and so on, to stay for a little bit while, then take the essence of the voice. Okay, it's not Mayapur, but I seem to long to be more on the spiritual platform. Maybe you make some adjustments in your morning program, then, or you make adjustments in opening maybe a place in your apartment, or something there you can serve more. Follow that voice, you know. Maybe you don't do exactly what as of that, you know. I very much long to be this is a private. I also don't follow my all the voices at the moment, but I'm doing service, which is not always. It's tough. My service is very intense and so much things, you know. But I'm doing this for Prabhupada. I do understand that it's necessary. He wants it at this stage. Yeah. There was someone else. Is your question still there? Yes.
I think I got my answer.
You got your answer. Good. I saw Gauranandini. I saw Gauranandini, isn't it?
Yeah. So Bhagavad Dharma, he asked how to awaken this secret longing. I wonder more how to follow, in the sense it seems also almost like a curse having this longing and not being able to fully live it. It seems like following is reserved a luxury for special sadhus or people who are really completely dedicated, or do I really have to? I mean, I tried giving up job, living fully.
Yeah,
do you understand what I want
totally
to?
Totally.
And this is so, I don't know, like nothing so frustrating having this longing and not being able to fully live it.
Wonderful. See, Gauranandini has come to a place of pain, sweet pain. This is very good. This is
not
what
sweet.
It's not sweet. It's strong. Kono snaga. Yes, it can be like this. Gauranandini, you there is a difference between strategies. I'm talking almost from the seminars which you have visited, like I have visited. There's a strategy, and there is an essential need. You have to distinguish it. Yes, you may not be able to travel all around the world like a sannyasini. Although you wish, it may not be. You may have to make a living at the present moment for, you know, in the kindergarten or whatever you do. It's not about the strategy. It's your sacred longing can be fulfilled in less than 5 minutes before you go to bed, and you don't go to bed immediately, but you go to your altar, you sing a bhajan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and you feel, oh, I finally spoke to my Lord. I followed my longing. It's that doesn't need to be a big strategy, you know. In fact, the simple things often work more. Your sacred longing could be fulfilled when you go when you go to a festival and you decide, I'm actually now going to do it. I get up at a crazy early hour, 4:30, go to the Mangala Arati, you know. I'm speaking in modern language, but let me tone my language a little bit more. You know how my sacred longing is fulfilled? then I have fulfilled it. Because it's private, I feel just shy. You know, the private things, even a lecture will not tell it public. 7 minutes. I thought I need a complex strategy. But you have to be a little inventive. All it needs is really to touch the sacred dimension. All of you touched it, and not all of you, but many of you touched it. When in the theater play yesterday, I saw, you know, I see such things in the two eyes. I see it as me, what do I get? Then I always look back and see how do others see it. Because I can see much more often through the eyes of others than through my own eyes. I see the richness of different perspectives when I try to look through the eyes of others. And many of you were crying. Yes. Here was one crying. He was sitting there where this man is sitting. Not you, but he was sitting there. I could see that. Others went, oh, cringe. You know, yes. Something touched them. It's the sacred dimension of life. And we Westerners have just lost it. That is the problem of the Western civilization. They lost the sacred dimension. It's almost like losing one entire dimension. We are three-dimensional beings. It's can't only we live in two dimensions. But when you lose the sacred dimension in your life, oh, Krishna, that's really bad. And it sometimes, Gauranga, only may take that you go a little bit more into this pain until you really say in your Gauranga, maybe enough is enough. Krishna. And you mean it, and all of a sudden, because you meant it, Krishna, not only you, it's there. You don't know what is happening, but you feel so different. You've entered the sacred dimension. I felt it, Gauranga. I was with my parents. I mean, I shouldn't give myself as an example, because I'm sometimes a little different. I have humbly had to admit I'm not a good example for everyone. So let me not then give this example. It's just the touch, and it happens by one price only. And the way I see you phrasing your question with an amount of emotional intensity, or we could call it frustration, means you come closer to this. The only price which you need for this eagerness, you really need to want it, and then because it's there, the sacred dimension is there. We are born with it, just like you're born with two ears and one nose. It's there, but because we lost it. And sometimes we lost it even in a movement, and we thought, well, everything will be taken care of. It was not taken care of, and then we rebelled and became bitter, and then we went to a different place. Again, you know. No, we can find it very easily. Trust me. It is, you know, I'm doing this for a long time now, 45 years. Almost 45 years. Imagine this. I'm turning 60. That's a scandal. Maybe 2 weeks or so. Oh, not 2 weeks. Few weeks or so. And I just know it. And I've seen it with so many people. And you all are wonderful. You punish yourself with your self-criticism. You are beloved of God. You're wonderful. Persons, yes. It's just a little needs to be done. Dobro. Yeah.
I have to ask
sag du dein neuer Name?
Manjulali.
Manjulamani.
Manjulamani.
Super. Manjulamani. So? Ja. Ja, sag. Ja. It's in English.
Yeah, sometimes I have a little similar feeling like Jigoranami, and I have a deep feeling that my sacred longing is connected to some kind of, not like a mission, but something I need to do. I need to, but I see it's like a really high bar, and that I'm not really qualified. So then I don't know what to do. Should I learn more things to become more qualified to actually be able to do that, or what should I do?
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You all have such wonderful questions. And because I know those who ask the questions, I don't want to give abstract answers, personal answers. They all say, when you read the Shastras and the Acharyas, they all say, in Sadhu Sangha, the association with serious devotees, that Shraddha, faith, is born, then it goes up, up to higher levels of bhakti. What I want to say is there's something there, and you all know it. You say, I have a feeling it could be this or that. And it just needs to be unearthed. Man muss die Bedeckung wegschaufeln, wie Deutsch gesagt. And or even better, when you come into the association of devotees were not quarreling about philosophy, like sometimes so frustrated about these quarrels. When you come in the association of good devotees, and matihi means an inner orientation is born, and that's what we are looking for, sacred longing. You could also call it in Sanskrit a matihi. An inner orientation, a desire, an inclination, a tendency, all this are expressing the same thing. That is really happening in the association of devotees when they talk about Krishna. And when they do what you know, Bhagavad Dharma Gaurahari designed this here, like a Sangha Vela, where we just have devotee Sangha, and what we do, what do? Chant. And talk about Krishna Pas and Iprasharam and so on. Let's be simple, you know. There it happens. There it comes up. And I could see that yesterday there was this time that we went from one year to the next. By the way, it's only a calendar year, it's a messed up speculation. But anyways, we use any trigger. Any opportunity. Hare Krishna. I hope I didn't say something for the internet, which is bad, you know. Any opportunity to just move forward. And so on. That's what is discussed in the scriptures. And when you don't have a high class association, read the, you know, I sing songs of the Acharyas, because the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they express so much longing and they touch the heart. And you think, yes, that's how I feel also. In other words, purification is still necessary. And that happens in the association of devotees, but in a positive way. Not in a, you do this wrong, this is in your way, that is in your way. You just, in the association, it's almost like a match is lit and it puts you in place so that you have this mati. Our problem is our mati. This is in Sanskrit, but our inclination. Mm-hmm. The Bhagavatam says, the verses thing which goes against our self-interest is to think other subjects than self-realizations are more pleasing than following self-realization. That's the verse's problem. I'm quoting this from the Bhagavatam in this text, Follow Your Longing. I didn't do very well in your mantra. I have not yet touched the essence of your mind. I can feel that. Your point is, you have a feeling you have to do it, but you also cannot yet do it. Why don't you pray also to Krishna? Please show me my next steps. I'm not so advanced, but my next steps. Something like this. I'm running out of fuel, I notice, as a lecturer. You have to be self-critical. I will think more about it. And then I have a better answer I will give. My dear devotees, time is also there. You all have to go. I have to go all the way to Berlin. And still something needs to be done. I have a very good news. One of my astrologers has informed me that at 14, now listen to this, 12:14, that is in, come and see, that's you know, some minutes, 20 minutes or but 12:14, you have wristwatches and mobile phones, you know. Then a very good thing happens. It will be new moon, that means no moon. But then after 12:14, it increases. And with the increasing of the moon means mind energy, you know, your determination will grow. So whatever, I'm looking if I say everything correctly because this is not my expertise, but I'm repeating faithfully the experts. Whatever you put in your mind after 12:14, but it shouldn't be in 1 year, you know, but really soon after 12:14, we'll get some extra strength from the universe, if you so wish, you know, from the constellations of the stars, and will work. So if you believe in such things, you know, fully, which are believable, you know. But if I can understand that some of you are not so astrologically minded, but if you feel any help is good for me, then you might go at 12:14 and pray before the deities, open your mind, or write some things down. Usually, gute Vorsätze am Neujahr don't work. You know, good desires for the new year don't work because astrologically this is the weakest time of the year. You know, but this first one is an exception. But this is on the side, the most important is pray to Krishna to work. I thank you very much. I'm sorry. But as you could see from my last answer, I am running out of good things. I'm getting brain dead. I wish you all the best. May this coming year be a blessed year for all of you. May you be a very, very inspired. May you have the strength of inspiration. And please, if it is not yet totally clear for you, there is this article, you can find it on Facebook and on the web page, and if you don't use these media, you can give to Bal Govinda your email address and we can just send it to you, and then you can read it if you think you want to think a little bit more about this. So I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurinidhaya ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Gaura Premanandi ki jai.